we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be a willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. and in suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
For the last two or three days,
mm-hmm.
I've been really in and out of identification,
mm-hmm.
and Thursday night, there's a couple things about that. I'm seeing there's different levels of identification.
Uh-huh.
Thursday, I definitely was in the dark room. The door was locked, bolted.
Mm-hmm.
There was no light whatsoever, mm-hmm. and I was just hunkering down. And I was in group Thursday night, and I just couldn't follow it at all, and I was talking about it in Guidance Friday. I was just really oppressed, just, mm-hmm. and...
So, if the group was going on, you were there, your body was there, but you just couldn't track
it. I couldn't follow, I couldn't track.
In the dark room.
No, yeah, I was in the dark room, and Sherry was talking about some things that I was really wanting to, I was resonating with, but conditioning was so oppressive,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked about that in guidance and clarified that. And then the guide said, in Friday, said, did it occur to you to put your hands up and bring it out? And I said, absolutely no.
Mm-hmm.
That did not occur to me. And I'm not as identified Thursday, but I'm fairly identified right now.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me this morning, wow.
Put your hands up.
Put my hands up and get it out.
Uh-huh.
That... there's, it was shared that we often bring to group what works, and, you know, our success and our accomplishments and stuff, and that's great, but when we're really in it, it never occurred to me to bring it out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I ever have.
And that's that kind of speaks to the levels, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because on Thursday night,
impossible, it
never even occurred to you.
No.
Never even... Yeah, just wasn't on the radar screen. But this morning, it did.
Yeah. Yeah. And to go through it, I mean, it's so interesting. It said, it kind of resigned itself, conditioning, like, okay, I know you're going to share. You know, kind of, but I'm going to determine what you share.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it said to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it started rehearsing very early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of, like, oh, the conversation was on and on. And then what I wanted to look at this morning in guidance was the Every Moment Zen
mm-hmm.
Handout that visiting monks are given and
mm-hmm.
we practice with for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently got some guidance from the guide that if there's anything, it was an encouragement, if there's anything not working or unclear or not making sense, please ask her or ask in individual guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea where that went. I just like, wow, really? And then I texted back, I'm totally unclear what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was, well, we don't want to make any assumptions that monastic practice is just carte blanche accepting. And I just saw in that moment that That's exactly what it was for me. Monastic training and practice was you just accept everything that is presented. There's no questioning.
And the accept almost has to be in quotes, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Because it's a different kind of accept.
Yes,
than,
yes.
Yeah, the compassionate, conscious compassionate acceptance
right.
that we sometimes talk about.
Yeah.
Because that acceptance comes from life. I'm here,
right.
I'm present, this is.
Yes.
Imagining an alternative reality where this isn't
yes.
suffering.
Right.
But what I hear and what you're saying is kind of this, so we're in monastic practice, and conditioning wants to filter everything.
Yes.
It knows what it means, it knows, and then it says, okay, but you're a monk now, so just accept it.
Right.
With big, huge quotation marks around it.
Yes, because I wrote back, yes. That is, I was assuming that's exactly what it is. And the response back was beautiful. It said, blindly following is just following blindly. Conditioning's mm-hmm. conversation about practice.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I never saw that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how it had that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well stated. Because, so, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And on a subtle or gross level, depending on kind of where I am in it, conditioning is interpreting all of that for me. And so, if I start to really pay attention, and somewhere in me, I start to tune into that, I don't really know what that means.
Yes.
I don't really know. That's sort of, in my experience at least, life beginning to offer places to look.
Yes.
But then when conditioning comes in to say, well, no, that's just, you're a monk, da, da, da.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? It's like it's like George Orwell's 1984. It's like everything is flipped on
yes.
its head, kind of.
Yeah.
So the language is, well, just accept everything.
Yes.
Which is supposedly practice. But in actuality, it's the stark opposite of what we're doing in practice. We're looking directly at conditioned mind for guidance.
Yes.
And we're doing that.
Yes. And the guidance was not to look at conditioned mind for guidance, but look to life or...
Yeah.
The guest master or the guidance formants or Sherry for guidance to guide us through practice when conditioning makes things muddled and unclear and confusing.
Yeah.
And then she went on to say, which is another thing I was looking at, is it's mentioned twice in this every moment sentence, it's in the preamble, and it's also in the Spirit of Inquiry, that there's a, and that's what she wrote back, she said there's a practice principle and a spiritual implication to everything we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And to really get practices, that's what we want to bring our attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment I went, oh dear. I know about guidelines, I know about the one rule. I don't know, I just went into spiritual amnesia and I feel like I'm still there.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what that was pointing at. And I'm hoping maybe some folks can bring out their experience of it, because I'm like, conditionings totally cover that over. What are spiritual principles? Like, are they precepts? Like, it's like that trying to figure out now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh.
Because
I know I've experienced them. And
right,
I practice them.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really, that's a place to be with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're practicing with it is, okay, there's a lot of stupid dust falling right now.
Oh, yeah.
But A, it's really resonating for you. I mean, even you described sitting in Thursday night group, and what the guy was talking about was resonating for
you. Yeah, it was resonating.
So the story that you weren't taking any of it in is just that. It's a story. How could you be resonating with it and even know you're resonating with it if on some level you weren't there taking it in, right? So then you get this guidance, and again, that really resonates for you. The immediate story is, I don't know what that means. And yet, is that so? Because then you can say, well, actually, I have had that experience. I'm just temporarily in this spiritual amnesia place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I am, temporarily in a spiritual amnesia. Mm-hmm. And...
and can we go to that spirit of inquiry with it? Even on the level of, isn't it interesting that sometimes this is really clear to me, and sometimes it feels like I have no idea.
You know, when you saw me, you said that, it reminded me, we talked about it a few times on the show and in group, that it's like the V formation of the Canadian geese. You know, we'd some take a lead and we dropped on Sangha.
Yeah.
And it felt like for the last 2 or 3 days, I wasn't in the V, I was kind of back here trying to catch up to the V to get the drafting of Sangha and spiritual support. Because it's just like, wow, Yeah. It's like conditioning had me in such a deep assumption.
Yeah.
And then the guy turned it right on its head.
Yeah.
And it's really thrown a huge wrench into conditioning. It's really riled it. Because it had me in a place for so long.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of extended stays. And I've been in that assumption for most of them.
And that's very good.
Yes.
Very, very good.
Yes.
To have, I mean, it can be, in my experience, one of the most uncomfortable places in practice.
It is.
Of having all of that stuff suddenly riled.
Yeah.
But to realize, that's excellent. Yeah, on some level, that I was not
seeing. Feel excellent.
It doesn't feel excellent because, you'll have to look and see, but because I project what happens is you're transitioning out of, on some very subtle level, identifying with it, with conditioning, thinking that's me.
Yes.
And what's just happened is the light has been turned again, the spotlight to it, looking at that's it, but because it's, I haven't even been thinking about it, but just on an unconscious level, that's me. That to me is where it feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
It feels like that's me that's being pointed at.
Yes.
But when we sit through it, when we stick with it,
right,
and we suddenly start to really see, my gosh, that isn't me, and we come out the other side of it, which you've had that experience many, many times,
yes.
I'm certain.
Yes, I have.
The freedom, the joy in that is spectacular.
Right, right.
It's just that middle place of hanging on to the cushion, right?
Yeah, that white knuckling it, which has been the last couple of days. It's like, oh my, and the guide and an individual guidance just keep pointing at it. Just kept, so interesting that they just kept pointing at it and pointing. It was kind of relentless in the sense of, going to make that transition. That transition is going to happen.
Yeah.
And conditioning was scrabbling and reprotecting itself and reprotecting itself. And then I get a text like, oh, ooh. There it is again.
Yeah.
And then I'd redirect the tax. Conditioning would redirect the tax, which I didn't see.
Yeah.
And then the guy would go, let's go back to this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We're not done.
Yeah.
We're not going to move on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh dear, I'm going to revisit this.
Yeah. That boy, to me,
that's not comfortable.
That is the relentless compassion of practice.
The relentless
of
compassion.
Of just that place where, come on, just be nice to me.
Yeah, I don't want to look at this anymore.
Yeah,
and I brought it to guidance not to look at it, and the guy goes, what are you seeing on that? Oh, no.
Yeah.
What about such and such? No, let's go back to this. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Then the guide saw also
that
conditioning is subtle.
Yeah.
Let's just, if we can move on, it won't be revealed.
Yeah. So what we want when we're identified with it is to just let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go, right?
Let it go.
That's another one of big quotes, right?
Yeah.
But practice won't do that.
It won't.
As long as the guide, the monastery, practice, what it life can see that confusion is still in place, it has to keep being pointed at.
Yeah.
Because knowing that the being wants that in the deepest place. And that's the thing that's so amazing about practice is that it never gives up on our heart. It never gives up on our heart. It keeps pointing at the thing that we truly want underneath it. And, another image I think that's come up around it is that image of, being on the court and taking the shots and feeling like, darn, I'm missing the shots. But I'm staying on the court. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I'm staying on the court. I'm staying in the game. Court.
Putting my hands up even though I'm identified. Yeah. And it's painful. It's saying how painful it is.
Exactly.
The part that's resonating for me in that is, and this has come up for me quite a bit, is an assumption about how things are, and that they are a particular way. I mean, I've really got the acceptance in quotes part. Mm-hmm. It's just, even amidst all of the things that are changing here, there's just still this idea that they need to be stuck in this one particular format.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Mm. A
format from long ago. Practice using, conditioning using practice language like not having better ideas.
Uh-huh.
To hold on to that as a, it would just. And then the guy keeps pointing to it over and over again. It's like, what is going on? You know that you people have. You know that this is what's going on, and no one is saying anything about it. And I project that a lot of it, for, at least for me, is, well, either A, an assumption that somebody knows about this, because otherwise why would it keep happening? It's like, you know, chocolate syrup on the breakfast table. Someone got
sure,
it.
That's on purpose.
And also, it's like nobody likes chocolate syrup on the breakfast table, and it just keeps going out there. But that's the way we've always done it. And so,
who am I to have a better idea?
Have better ideas about the way, you know, just that's the kind of stuff that it tends to just shift around. Whenever, you know, circumstances shift around, or, you know, like, I'm watching things constantly changing here.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is, or some buddies are, you know, saying, how about this? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I see how huge it is. It's like the place of, like, blindly following without saying anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the other place of it, which is like, well, I think chocolate syrup's great, so I'm just going to buy it and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And without, you know, without any kind of community, you know, input.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fascinating, because the conversation is the thing that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Is if it can get outside of my head, even if chocolate syrup was the dumbest idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the breakfast table,
yeah.
to say it, it's like, well, what about it? And it's like, well, okay, I got feedback that it's not what we're doing.
That is so key. Mm-hmm. Because why wouldn't you say anything? Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Because,
well, if I can't, it's like, people are going to think you're dumb.
Exactly.
You know,
conditioning.
Yeah, well, yeah, the whole list is conditioning.
But truly, that's the thing.
That is
the only reason not to communicate is to collude with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Is to protect conditioning. Is to, again, it goes back to what we were talking about with Todd.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps this fundamental confusion, illusion in place that I am conditioning.
Yes.
Because if I truly, 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 truly got it, that that's not me, it would just be like, hey, here's this idea that came through, here's this thing. There'd be no worry or angst about it or any reason not to communicate. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, it would
it's not even my idea.
No, it just came through. It just like it popped in and it's like, okay, well, we'll find out. And that's the beauty of it, is that it actually serves me in the long run, because I can either be in conversation with conditioning about it or throw it out there and find out. It's almost like the only way I can actually learn
exactly
where it is that I am is from that kind of information.
Yes.
And I think that's the scary part for conditioning, is that it will be revealed. And so don't say anything, because they're going to find out that you're just a complete, you know, crazy person.
And that's the thing. And that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a crazy thing going on in here,
we
I want
to
get
it out
as fast as possible.
Yes.
Because otherwise what's going on is I'm in here deciding, let's see, that's from center, that's not from center, that's this, all conditioning. Because only conditioning would have a conversation like that, right? I mean, everyone knows the experience of just an insight or a whatever. There's no conversation with it.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as there's any conversation around it, we know, okay, this is conditioning.
It's conditioning,
so
it's ego maintenance.
It's exactly,
because
it's ego maintenance.
Who else would be concerned about their image?
Yeah.
Which is what really boils down to. I've been seeing it as like, it's image, Well, it's image of, it wants to own me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it, I mean, it wants to own this being.
Yeah.
This, essentially, because that's how it stays in control.
Mm-hmm.
Even from, you know, not keeping commitments to being concerned about what other people think. It's
mm-hmm.
all about, the relationship that we're in.
Right.
And that's all. That's all that matters. As long as I'm in a relationship with it,
right.
No relationship with, you know, guidance or
mm-hmm.
practice or anything like
life.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's all really, you know, it's standing, you know, it's like a feeding station, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so every time you put it out, it's just more information for you. Either, that is what it feels like for life to come through and have an idea. Or, got it. That's what it feels like when conditioning has taken over. And it's just all information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can really resonate to the difficulty that is experienced, or the kind of you're just going to say conditioning because I know that's what it is. I mean, I'm just like, that. Who else would be having that kind of response? It's true. It really is. That's what it is. To reveal it could ruin conditioning's ability to maintain control of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that would happen in that circumstance.
And you know, Alex, as you're talking, I'm hooking it up with some of the recording and listening stuff that we've been talking about, because it feels like in that place that Todd was pointing at, where there's that painful transition, it can feel painful,
mm-hmm.
as that suddenly that more subtle, deeper layer of identifying with it is being revealed, that is so the place that we want to record to support the being in that transition.
Yes.
Remind the being of what, in this case, he truly wants. Remind him that he is completely adequate to doing that. Remind him that, it's going to feel awful, likely, because it's going to come at you with everything it's got, but you can do it. You know, this is why you're here. This is what you want. All those reminders that are so important in that transition place, not to leave him on his own in that really painful place where he's vulnerable to saying, this is too hard, I just, we don't say this consciously, but I'll just go back and be it, because that's easier.
Uh-huh.
I'll just go back and identify with conditioning.
I'm not sure how much he would want that. I think that there's a part inside who has no difficulty with anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely okay with whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happening is there, the deeper levels of conditioning are struggling with. That's what they do. They just struggle. They're going to have difficulties with whatever.
Right.
Whether it be, I got a big no and I was kind of hoping for a big yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is like, feels like his...
It's practice.
Well, it's practice, and it's just working with it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
As you say that, it's like feels like what you're describing with the mentor and the recording listening is a map,
mm-hmm.
a guide map through mm-hmm. some. That this is what's going to happen. This is what it feels like when.
Yeah. Because what I hear you saying is kind of reminding that person that it's not him who's struggling.
Right.
That's conditioned.
It's conditioned who's struggling, right?
Yeah.
If you can't say something, it's conditioning trying to stop you from expressing yourself.
Exactly.
That you're completely adequate to learn from your experience.
Yeah.
That everything that comes from, that everybody's on your side.
Mm-hmm.
They all want you to be successful.
Yes.
If you see something other than that, that is conditioning.
You're looking through, exactly.
That they, they're 100% supportive of you. They're not supportive of what's keeping you in bondage.
Yeah. They're completely on your side.
Completely on your side. And it's just helpful to have a reminder like that.
Really powerful.
I think what's important is that to say what's what and who's who.
Yeah.
That's bottom line.
Yep. Call it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I really resonated with what we're talking about, that place in practice that gets extremely uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
and just ruthlessly uncomfortable. And I'm starting to have a little glimpse of how incredibly useful that is.
Yeah.
I was really feeling the benefits of practice in this stay, and there was this kind of opening of like, maybe I'd like to do some more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the beginning of a conversation.
That's a big red flag.
I've been poking it, pretty good. I've been kicking the hornet nest.
Yeah.
And boy, it works.
Yeah. Boy, that's if we could stay in that attitude of mind, that would change it a lot, wouldn't it?
I'm seeing that something just dropped in while I was sitting that, as this was just grinding away, it was so painful. There was just this insight dropped in that if you are able to stay with this as it's just grinding like this, and really stay with life, stay with practice,
yeah.
you're going to move through this very quickly.
Yes.
Is what kind of dropped
yes.
in.
Yes.
And I was like, wow.
Yes.
But I kind of like indicated that I might like to come for a longer stay,
mm-hmm.
but that there's a number of different things that make that impossible immediately,
mm-hmm.
that'd be out in the future and that kind of thing. And the guy kind of responded back that, you know, don't wait too long, you know, because,
oh, yeah.
you know, if you give it enough time, it'll find a way.
Yeah, for sure.
And I could really see that.
Uh-huh.
And then, and then the guy presented this kind of like, have you considered maybe staying longer right now? And that caught it totally off guard. I was like, what? No, absolutely not. No way.
Yeah.
And I mean, just in general, but then also there's this other content, like, I mean, I've literally got like two tickets to paradise, like the week after, you know, come home, there's like, I have plane tickets to go to a sunny beach. Oh man, and it is just the desire to go have that experience is so huge. And the identification with someone who wants that so bad and doesn't want this is enormous. But then really seeing so clearly that here's like life, you know, presenting this opportunity and really knowing kind of in my heart that saying no in a way is kind of that, like in the other week's Sweet Zen reading, is kind of that like no thanks really.
Yes.
To life?
Yes.
And I'm seeing that clearly enough that I don't feel like I can do that. I don't feel like I can say no.
Yeah.
Even though I feel absolutely identified with the one who doesn't want to be here and is counting down the days to like go on that trip and be on the beach and having a margarita or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just being identified like that and then still doing that, you know, letting go
yes.
of that thing that I want
yes.
so bad,
yes.
it's just brutal. And I was doing work in meditation the other day, and that just came up so huge, and I was like, I felt so identified. I was like, I just want that so bad. And it was like, I just want to, gosh, I just want to go somewhere where, like, if I could just have something else right now, everything would be okay. And, like, in that identified place, there was this really deep feeling of, like, sadness and loneliness that it said is happens because of being here.
Yes.
And it's like, if I could just go have a cup of coffee with an old friend, you know,
yeah.
or go to a party and a barbecue with a bunch of folks or something,
yeah. Yeah.
like then everything would be okay.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. And, and it's just working on this little kid that's feeling so sad and lonely here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there was that, like, I feel all that, I hear all that, I really identify, I feel like I got one foot in both worlds. The one that feels really, really real
mm-hmm.
is the it, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's really, really faint
mm-hmm.
is this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I did that, it was just this, like, whoosh, like
mm-hmm.
tears, and then just this relief and this, like, steadiness.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and the feeling of, like, everything's okay. Like that feeling that I hope to get from a cup of coffee with an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or the feeling I hope to get from that trip.
That's it. And on, I project, on such a deeper, more foundational level, in the sense of, not even in the sense of the content of, because I project, that's not even coming from because I'm going to stay longer at the monastery. It's coming from the skill that you have acquired to sit through that, to sit through the best conditioning has to throw at you, and still be able to choose what in your heart you truly want.
Give me goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I want for my life, and I know that getting what it says I need doesn't give me what I need.
Never will.
Which helps bring the willingness.
Exactly. Oh, it helps so much. Mm-hmm. It helps so much to have practice as long as you've practiced now and have as deep a practice that you have to know that well enough. To know getting on that airplane and going to that beach is not going to provide fundamentally what you truly want. It isn't. No. It's just not how it works.
I will probably feel better for a little while.
Exactly.
While I'm doing it.
Exactly.
But then ultimately, there's no payday. There's no payoff to it.
Yeah, we feel better when we turn on the TV or when we, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We do.
That and
we're, in that cycle. And that's that little blip of feeling better. Mm-hmm. But it does not at all address what we really, really want in the deepest place.
Yeah, so, I mean, it feels like a really powerful place, and it's just a brutal place. And it's like when being so identified with the resistance, and then not yet to the place where I can really see clearly the benefits of doing that, and yet doing it anyway.
Yeah.
It's a really like difficult, spooky in between place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is, and you might just in a kind of sitting with it sort of a way, question that ultimate label of brutal that's being put on it.
Huh.
Because it's incredibly brutal for conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. life-crushing brutal for conditioning. Because as we often talk about when we, you know, get right down to it in practice, it's conditioning or the being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only one thing, if you will, is going to come out with the life force.
Mm-hmm.
And in that choice that you're being able to make now, it's losing the ultimate battle. It does not have the life force. You have it. And so, yes, as we've been talking about today, there's struggle in it and there's all of that. But, I mean, as you just said a minute ago, you know, those goosebumps, that experience of, I don't know what word, you know, for me it would be something like exhilaration, joy, bliss, that comes with that. You know, we could just as easily say, this is blissful.
Ah.
Doing this.
I see. Yeah, so questioning that kind of label of brutal that conditioning is putting on that experience and looking for ways that same experience is also blissful, exciting.
Yeah. This is what I've been working for. This is what I've always wanted, is the ability to stand up to conditioning in this way. To choose what I truly want under all circumstances.
Oh, yeah, thanks for saying that. And that was my experience when it let go
there. Exactly.
When I pushed through it right there, it was a beautiful experience. I mean, and just for hours afterwards, I just felt this glow.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. We want to label it. There's a nice
label.
This is glowing. And then when the brutal comes up, we just give it where it belongs. It feels like this is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine.
Wow. All right.
Thank you. It's quiet.
Well, I had a great group this morning, and I can't think of any place to be on the planet besides here. It's like awesome. And it was
cold,
like,
rain, whatever.
And it's funny, I think yesterday it came up before I was here as a monk, you know, at my time had come up to leave.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember, I was just recalling what it felt like I remember some, you know, kind of cold, rainy, gray days, and it was time for me to go, and everybody was going into the hall, and I was going to my car.
Oh my God!
Big lights of the city.
I have 30 or 40 seconds of happiness here.
Right! You know, and remember that feeling like, oh gosh, those poor folks, they're sitting there in the cold, and, you know, and I'm going to go, you know, and then just watching the transformation and how that's so not, you know, that was that feeling of conditioning, you know, like needing to orchestrate all of the external circumstances for my happiness, you know, and I you know, just the feeling of that and the strain of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, really? We keep trying to put it all together out there to you know, have that.
To kind of bring all the elements, you know, shepherd them in so that you can just write, oh, wait, one got away over there.
Right.
I'm not warm enough. Oh, I need this to eat. Oh, I need...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Phew. It's just such hard work.
Yeah.
And then in the last couple of days, very emotional about it, but just having some experiences of just feeling like life is giving me what I need, mm-hmm. just when I need it, mm-hmm. in a way that conditioning and the world of conditioning mm-hmm. never, ever, you know,
yeah.
presented, and just having it arise in just such a kind way, and mm-hmm. and feeling the love behind that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the immense love,
mm-hmm.
Wow, there's just there's just nothing,
yeah.
nothing that is worth that.
Yeah, nothing that can compare to that deep level of unconditional, you know, love or whatever word you would put there, not based on any circumstances
exactly.
or any things or material.
Yeah. Right, it's okay to just relax into this.
Uh-huh.
It's okay to just trust and be supported,
mm-hmm.
and you know what was needed is just going to be there when you need it. And I'm just mm-hmm. just feeling the contrast to those two realities,
uh-huh.
and I'm just that conditioned world can just just seems so so like the ticket.
So like the ticket.
It can seem so
yeah.
like the ticket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, as you were talking, so I was just seeing why it's no wonder it's talking to us incessantly.
Yes.
Because it has to.
Yes.
To convince us. I mean, because what you're talking about is so compelling. So why do we not go, right, oh, that's what I want, stay there and never go back?
Right.
You know, why would we ever go,
exactly.
yeah, I want ice cream. I don't want all of this. I want ice cream.
Yeah.
I want, you know,
exactly.
I want whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mine is always ice cream. Yeah. But, and the reason I project is that it's constantly talking to us,
yeah.
waiting for us to lose consciousness.
Yeah.
And as soon as we do, we get pulled up into that conversation,
yeah.
and before we know it, oh yeah, I really do want,
yeah.
Because we no longer are connected with that, you know, whatever you want to call that, life, God, that experience of just unconditional okayness. And so then it feels like we've got to go get those things in order to have that feeling back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know what? It just sprinkled. Didn't like this conversation at all. It just sprinkled a little stupid dust on me right now. I was coming in with something about that. I don't know, it will come up again and I'll put my hands up and continue on, but I'm just in deep gratitude for that privilege and honor of being offered this opportunity to be in relationship with life versus
mm-hmm. yeah.
be in relationship with conditioning,
yeah.
and it's extraordinary,
yeah.
and I just appreciate sitting in this room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can even say of being life.
Of being life.
Right? I mean, in relationship with conditioning,
yeah.
or just being.
Just being.
And witnessing the transformation that's happened, you know, going from knowing so well that place of, yay, I get to get in my warm car and
right.
drive and get whatever I want.
Right.
Instead of, oh, going into that cold hall and sitting.
Right.
And then coming to a place where just in whatever circumstances, you're able to practice having what you want all the time.
Exactly. And what just came up for me was a text from the guy recently. Having a conversation about this thing of pulling of being in the world, and having her say it's not. There's nothing wrong with being in the world.
Right.
You know, it's great and it's fun, but it's wanting.
Yeah.
It's that wanting to be in the world,
yeah.
and thinking that it's going to provide us with something.
That's right.
You know, and just coming to that place of knowing that.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. I mean, there's no difference between, I mean, the monastery is the world, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all just stuff. It's back to that we wake up in the morning, we do a bunch of stuff, we go to bed at night, right? And you could say that about an entire life. You're born, you do a bunch of stuff, and you die. So even the monastery can just be content of that.
Yeah.
But the point is to see through the illusion that the beach or the, you know, warm whatever or the whatever it is that I want is going to get me the thing that I truly want, yeah. And whatever it is.
Yeah.
And once we get that, we can be anywhere doing anything.
Right. Have
a fabulous time.
Have a fabulous time, wherever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple things. One, you know, I was thinking about all the promises of life that holds out, and I have such a strong memory of a number of years ago when we were down in Los Angeles for a peace storming, and we had to drive across the city, and I was looking at billboards, and realized that every single billboard, either explicitly or implicitly, was saying, escape. Mm-hmm. And if it's so great, why do we have to, if what life is offering is so, you know, life is offering is so great,
yeah.
Why is there this incessant message that we have to escape it?
Well, and so often it isn't portrayed as so great. Life is hard, and you know, it's not fair,
and that's why we have to escape
and watch TV. Yeah.
One of the things that was coming up for me in this discussion was I was, when I was here in July, I just had this great experience of just having a sense of how much bigger the heart is than I had gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Because my experience was I made a commitment to come wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. as a visiting monk. And I found that much of the time I was here, I also wanted to be home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what conditioning got me into was a conversation about I was wrong.
You shouldn't feel
pulled
that way.
In those two directions because I said I was going to be wholehearted. So wholehearted, I mean, it took a while, but I got it. That from conditioning's point of view, wholehearted meant you only want one thing. Nothing else arises.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure.
Yeah.
And anything else is wrong. And, mm-hmm. I remember the day that the mentor and I together sort of got it. Oh, the heart holds everything.
Yeah.
The heart holds the whole thing.
Right.
It holds being here totally. Mm-hmm. And wanting other things, and thinking about other things, mm-hmm. and having other commitments and links, and it was so wonderful. And what I was thinking was that for me, I wouldn't have called it brutal, but what I would have experienced that was what might have been referred to as brutal was only the conditioned stuff. The heart was having no trouble.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And once I shifted over to how big the heart was,
uh-huh.
all the sense of there's some problem here evaporated, even though all the same feelings were still there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That it's big enough to contain all of it.
Contains everything.
Yeah. Because to realize, you know, in that, what I have to do, you're talking about, is that, again, we're back to the confusion of who I am. So, oh, I really want to be home. Oh, I like being here. Oh, I like. And none of that is actually you.
Mm-hmm.
That making that movement to step back, and that's just all, you know, again, it's like we always use the image of weather, but it's such a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The weather is just passing through. Really, why am I going to have some relationship with it of, I shouldn't feel that way, I shouldn't think that, I shouldn't have that? Mm-hmm. I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
As if I have any control over it, as if it says anything about me, of course it doesn't.
Right.
And as you say, being wholehearted is just, yeah. And then choosing where I want my attention to be, because that's where we get trapped, right? Is if I think it's me, and I go, yeah, if I were home, and I could, that's the danger, is getting into a conversation about it.
Yeah, and, you know, when I love that that quote we quote all the time about, you know, simply cease to cherish,
mm-hmm.
don't seek for enlightenment, simply seek to cherish opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, preferences, I guess, is, and one of the things that I love about that quote is the word cherish, because it doesn't say don't have them.
Yeah.
And that's just been liberating for me to get that at any given moment. As you say, I could prefer this or that, or this could come up or that could come up.
Yeah.
And life and heart just hold all of that.
Yeah.
And as long as I don't cherish, as long as I don't start chewing on it, you know, I just let it be, there really is no problem.
Yeah. So true. Really simplifies things.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Justin.
and to look at the practice principle of spiritual implication thing that was mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
That's just something I want to look at for myself. I actually, this morning, recorded that every moment sent thing, because that page, because I wanted to listen to it. And actually, as I recorded, I didn't particularly notice the spiritual implications and practice principles that I brought up earlier. I just want to make that. Well, actually, I saw that. It doesn't feel it in my practice. It doesn't feel overt.
Uh-huh.
And I like to experiment with it being more overt. The obvious way to do that is to record about it, so that it's kind of cycling through.
Mm-hmm.
There is kind of a. I don't want it to be an intellectual exercise, which I think it very much has the potential to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw when that was brought up earlier is that's essentially what's going on in my recordings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Especially lately, because it feels like it's paying attention, having experiences, little scenes, but they're not like little tiny insights, but not like as I'm going through the day, but not kind of drawn together into something that can help me, that I can refer to, that can help me as I go forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think those little insights are, I mean, I think they're helpful anyway. They're back there somewhere, bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're there when the next kind of piece is there to put together. But it also feels like there's a place where I'll see, oh, kind of something larger. It's kind of like, this is how it works. And that's really what I record. It's almost impossible to record the little things because they're not very tangible. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, sometimes they're not even kind of verbalized, not even in, they're just sort of,
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, they're not really in words.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes it'll be, when this is going on, this is attached to it, or, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then that's what it feels like, it becomes kind of that practical, the practice principle.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it is really helpful. It's not intellectualness like that.
No.
And it is helpful. Of course, and then I've got my recording, so they're cycling through, and sometimes they cycle through, and it's okay, I don't really, sometimes cycle through, and then another piece, I say, another piece gets added to that.
Yes.
So anyway, and then the spiritual implications the recordings are full of that because, that's what the whole thing is, if we keep going down this road,
exactly.
The implication is this is going to happen,
like that. Yeah. So it sounds like you're playing with, after hearing the discussion this morning, playing with wanting to make that somewhat more intentional, not going to an intellectual place with it, but just realizing that's already happening. And perhaps just by putting it out there and looking at it, it may come even more to the conscious level, and that you might be able to really record as you make those connections, or as life helps make those connections, and then sort of that those practice principles are available to you to listen to going forward.
Yeah. And in particular, to record to remember about that, to remember about practice principles, spiritual implications, because I think it could make it... I think it would help in having those things happen to have that as a, and then the intellectual thing is, well, what's the practice principle here? I mean, that's not necessarily intellectual, but it's like, I'm out of the experience trying to make something up about just what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really feel like it. It's more, if I've got it, it's kind of like a koan, or kind of like setting the intention we'll talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like a place to look from.
Yeah.
Then that's kind of where it happens. And I think if I've got that surfacing and resurfacing, and my awareness that process is a thing to practice, then I think I might more and more often move into that place to see from, and then those things will come together more.
Yeah. It's fun because I'm not sure I even have language for it, but even what you're talking about is kind of a metta practice principle.
Mm-hmm.
The way to approach something.
Uh-huh.
What I hear you saying, I don't know if this is quite it, but so often I know for me, let's say you record that, and I don't know, something along the lines of, I want to be open to, as I'm going through my day, on, practical little things, to, whatever is going on in my practice or whatever, be open to the practice principle of that. Listen to that in the morning and then let it go. And then watch how often that life will, especially if you're listening to it every morning, life will begin to reveal that stuff to you, literally on a conscious level. Oh, hey, I see the practice principle of that. Mm-hmm. Only from setting the intention, and then you don't need to go to an intellectual place of it.
Yeah, and then it becomes a practice.
And then it becomes a practice.
Yeah. Like, that's funny. It's funny, I hadn't thought about it in these terms at all. But Sundays are, open. And I've been doing a lot of listening. Mm-hmm. And, I listen to the recordings I make a lot. And then there's also a couple of things that are available, these conference calls we have and open air archives and things like that I've been listening to.
Yeah.
So, like, this morning I listened to one, it's a conference call, it's an hour long. And so lots of little blips in there.
Yeah.
And also just some other things. From my recordings I listened to, I saw some stuff. There's something that a guy gave me to read, and I could sleep in the middle of the night, so I read that for like 20 minutes and saw much stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when all these little, these inputs are happening.
Yeah.
And there's these little tiny, kind of happening.
Yeah.
And then there's this kind of picture that comes out of that. Mm-hmm. And so as I left my hermitage to walk up here, I recorded about the general things that I saw.
Yeah.
And that feels like kind of a practice of it.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done that a lot on Sunday just because that's when all the inputs happen. But anyway, that's interesting to see also how kind of how to practice with that.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, yeah. And that's so true that having that, as you describe that, because that's my experience too, is, listening to this and basically being steeped in practice, mm-hmm. Hour after hour after hour after hour, it's a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are all these insights and there are all these amazing quotes and these things that people say, and that's all wonderful. In a way, even that's somewhat irrelevant. It's the place that we're going to and practicing living from that all of that is taking us to.
Yeah, that's a nice point. Yeah, I've been seeing that too. Steep in practice thing.
Mm-hmm.
How essential it is, really.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of, I might just be seeing this because that's what I'm looking at, but a lot of information coming in about that,
mm-hmm.
about the importance of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So, we were talking about billboards and that being conditioning, it took me back to remembering when in Zambia every billboard was advertising itself.
Because no one can afford to buy a billboard.
So it said,
advertise here.
Advertise here. And as we were talking about it, I was just thinking, that was a perfect example of conditioning. Because it's always advertising itself.
Listen to me. Look at me.
Exactly, and a lot of it is when in this conversation I was saying, at least it feels like a lot of it is that taking us into that other world, its world, by that the desire, the wanting not to be in this world, mm-hmm. wanting something better than what's right here, wherever we are.
Yes.
So I could be out there wanting to be here, and it's the same.
Because the process that's essential to turn conditioning on is dissatisfaction.
Exactly.
So that's what it's advertising, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing that billboards are advertising.
Yes.
If the illusion is that they're offering satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always that satisfaction. There's always that.
If we just get this soap, it would all be okay.
And I think it's a classical thing that in spiritual practice, where we know that people have experienced that the first, very first hook of conditioning is the offer of satisfaction and pleasure or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that hooks us and then it carries its den.
Exactly. And then it's got its way with us.
Yeah.
Then it takes us to these amazingly ugly, horrific places that suddenly you wake up and think, no, why would I want that?
Yes.
But it's got us from that first hook.
Right.
Until we can unhook ourselves.
Yes. But then the hook after that, is, oh my God, here I am again in the lion's den and I did it wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's why it seems so, as far, for me, one of the biggest practice principles is the whole thing of just, there is nothing wrong. Yes. We've got to have that, as far as I can see, or we're caught in in that spiral, and it's really hard to get out then.
Yeah, gosh, that's such a good point. But the underlying practice principle, there is nothing wrong.
Yeah.
No matter where we find ourselves, where we come to consciousness, what's going on, whatever, all of it, sort of a bit like Penny was pointing out, there is nothing wrong.
Yes, and to me that is the thing where, you know, I take the breath, I can, you know, it's just, it will move back. That's, to me, that's, I think, what I learned was the total acceptance, because I guess we all do that in the beginning, we just, and I still catch myself, you know, accepting to make it better, accepting to,
right. Okay, to get disidentified,
yeah, okay, I should be disidentified with something, you know. But that once it's accepted that there's nothing wrong, I mean, that to me is the true
kind
of acceptance, and just then to just be with yourself, you know, all the things we've learned.
And touching on some of the sort of intense, difficult places that people have talked about this morning, that place of when it feels like things are so difficult, to go to the, okay, if there's nothing wrong, which is the most basic practice principle.
Yes.
That must be true here.
Yes.
And to just find the willingness to be still in that. Yeah. And pretty soon, to see how nothing is wrong here is just so liberating.
Yeah. Yes. That's the ultimate trust. That's what goes with that. Yes. It's just that this looks like everything's wrong. Yeah. And yet my faith, my trust says there is nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And then just to live in that nothing wrong. Yeah.
Not to leave it,
and then pretty soon we see there is nothing wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's what the literal and metaphorical billboards are doing.
Yes.
Is, you know, oh, this feels awful. There must be something wrong.
Yes.
Okay, let me leave and go, whatever it is, to get away from this.
Yes.
But to just stay and to, you know, find out, as we were talking about earlier, that's what I want.
Yeah, even you know, like, I'll do anything to disidentify. I mean, that's that same
just leaving.
Because the biggest transformations always is like going through that fire till it's just finally implodes.
Burns it away.
Yeah, and you look back and say, what was wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that's the miracle to me.
I'm just seeing something as a result of that conversation about the plane tickets and the staying here, and yet as I'm looking at it, it's a process that I'm very familiar with, so it's not unknown, but I'm seeing it in a different way, which is that kind of choice happens to me any number of times a day, you know, where I know I'm. Need to do this, but I, or even I deep in my heart want to do this, but I'd rather, and the I'd rather is always something more comfortable in somebody's opinion.
And again, don't forget where you're going, but that fundamental confusion of both places are using I.
Right.
So it's so complicated.
Exactly.
I really want to do this in my heart, but I really don't want to.
I know it, exactly.
Will the real Mickey please stand up?
And what I realize is, you know, is that I, you know, most of the time, not all the time, but would make the more difficult, you know, would go with the thing that needs to be done or that I know is what in the, is my values that I want to do. And what I just saw two things. One is how often I'm presented with that. You know, how often when I need to, when I'm going to do something, I'm presented with, but I would rather, you know, which is just a way to suck it away, you know?
Yep.
But how also what I'm told is then when I make the quote right choice, then the reward is some kind of a virtue, you know, well, good for you.
Right.
You did the hard thing.
Yep.
Rather than it never points to you have the ability to go to that place where you can make that choice.
Yep.
It would never tell me that was something, a skill that I had.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if this is what you're saying, but what I heard in that was And that even in making that choice for the heart, there's a way in which if it stays, if we stay in that conversation with it, I don't actually get to make that choice.
No.
Even though I might be doing, my body is doing that thing, I don't actually get to be there for it.
I don't get to be there for having made the choice. I get to feel good because I did the right thing.
Yeah.
And I also don't get to see that in 5 minutes that same situation is going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's good in that so conditional place.
Yeah. Yes. That, yes.
It's
yes.
So, that's very well described because it's such a coup for conditioning.
Yeah.
Because what it's done is you've made the choice for the heart, quote marks in the air, but that's fine with it.
That's right.
As long as it keeps it in the conditional realm, it doesn't matter which choice you make.
Right. It gets to keep the whole its whole package intact.
Yeah.
So it just flips over to saying, well, you made a really good choice there.
Yeah. So you get to feel good.
That's right, you get to feel good.
Putting conditions on it where the whole truly underlying thing was that this choice could have offered you the place of what you truly want, the unconditional realizing I'm fine no matter what.
That's right. And often that I don't really want that thing that it said I wanted to do instead.
Exactly. Thank you. That's our time.